But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord. Dear friends, how many times do I have to tell you? Several years ago, while I was walking out of the post office, I heard this voice. Now, wasn't it 800-foot Jesus? I heard this voice say, "Hey, Weiss, come here." Ooh. So I looked and I said, "Oh, it's one of my old buddies from the parish days. Hey, come here, I got something I got to tell you." Okay, sounds good to me. Now this, you sort of have to understand, this was one of the fellows that in the parish, he thought he was kind of God's gift to mankind in the parish. And he said, "You're just not going to believe what this church has done." He just took a call to a very large suburban church. He said, "You're not going to believe, I've only been there 2 months. 2 months. And you know, they gave me a huge, huge salary increase. You know, now I think I can afford to get that Lincoln that I've kind of always been wanting to get. I mean, I just can't. Can you believe that, Bob? What they did? I mean, isn't that something?" Well, I took my right arm and put it around his shoulders, and I said, "You know, John, how many times do I have to tell you that you're kind of there to serve and not to be served? How many times have you been reminded about the correct way to parse Hebrew and Greek verbs, about the syntax and the context of the text? How many times have you been reminded or reminded others that Christians are to plant the seed and to water it? How many times have you been reminded or reminded others about repentance and faith and sin and grace? How many times were the people of Israel reminded not to turn their backs on Yahweh? And how many times were they told, you know, God incarnate's coming, the Messiah is coming? How many times did Jesus tell his disciples that he would suffer, die, and then be raised on the third day, but still they just didn't quite get it? It is true that we do suffer from a malignant disorder, a malignant disease that I call chronic syndrome, S-I-N. How many times have you been reminded about this, that this chronic syndrome will lead and end up in eternal destruction? St. Paul writes, "For many whom I have often told you, and now shed many tears, they are now enemies of the cross. God is their belly. Their end is destruction, and their glory is in their shame, and their mind is set on earthly things." Well, these antinomians of St. Paul's day, and no less what we see here today, of course, I mean, they really were stuck on themselves. How many of you really like some of your compadres, some of your friends, that you sort of sit back and you think, boy, they're really stuck on themselves? Don't you just love to see that? This deep, bottomless abyss of self-centeredness is expressed by their gutless and gluttony for selfless shame, for earthly things. Their mind is leading them to this diabolical quicksand of eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die syndrome. They love, we love, this world and all of its earthly things that we can take advantage of and be very self-centered about and then turn and spit on the eternal life given to us through the Word, Jesus Christ. Seminary students, professors, pastors, and teachers are warned about those who live as enemies of the cross. And we're pretty good about pointing the finger at other. I mean, I'm not an enemy of the cross. Not me. I'm a seminarian, I'm a professor, I'm a pastor, I'm a teacher. I'm a called and ordained servant of the word. Those who stand, take heed, lest they fall. For every step, every corner, every exam, every confrontation that you have with a professor, our professor has with you as a seminary student, Satan is roaming about seeking whom he may devour. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you to renounce, to turn your back, to give it up, this heavenly citizenship, this commonwealth citizenship that God has given to us through the author and perfecter of faith, Jesus Christ. Yes, he tempts you to sin and to live according to Satan's pattern of lust and love, so that the God of the belly is providing you with insatiable appetite for worldly things, running your seminary life or your parish life or your professor life sort of with a Harris Poll mentality rather than servant, being a legalistic Judaizer with a 16-inch neck and a 13-inch collar, rather than living the life of Christ in your vocation, in all that you do in thought, word, and deed. Or perhaps maybe waking up in the morning and taking a sneak picture or view in the local paper of your horoscope. Or paying the first, you know, paying the $3.95 to find out what the psychics are going to do. Or listening to the people on the TV about tarot cards, rather than the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Gossiping about this professor or that professor, or about this seminary or about that seminary, or about this staff person or that staff person, rather than, as St. Paul writes, looking at others as better than yourself. For many walk, of whom I have told you, and now tell you, weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is the belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. How many times do I have to tell you? But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, is how you should stand firm in the Lord. Dear friends, because Christ Jesus is the subject of our citizenship, our commonwealth existing in heaven. Heaven is our home, the home of God incarnate, the home of the crucified, risen Savior, who prepares a place for us in heaven. The whole state to which we belong is in heaven and not on earth. And so these lowly bodies, subject to weakness and decay because they have been corrupted by sin, have been baptized into the Christ's death and resurrection. So because he was raised from the dead, so we too will be raised to a new life, a new glorious body like his. Death has been swallowed up in victory, his victory, our victory. So look around you. Note those who live the life of Christ in thought, in word, in deed. This is the incarnate God's doing. This is the way that he gives to eternal life, eternal salvation. Those who continue to cast their lives to Satan's leadership and spurn the servant Christ, destruction is their end. How many times have you been told? But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait a Savior from there, who is Christ the Lord, who by the power that enriches and enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they may be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy, my crown. This is how you stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.